6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Thursday, July 28, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. 10% off Strauss Naturals this week, by the way, at the Power Mall for those of you who are so inclined to go shopping. And we appreciate that because that's what keeps us on the air here. It's been an interesting conversation so far we've had with Reverend James Harden in our last segment. And, of course, you know, that has probably sparked a whole lot of situations between the My Body, My Choice folk and everybody else. And, you know, this is the thing. You know, when you relate it to our freedom, our will to do what it is that we're doing, we only make decisions based on the information. And if we're getting information that's true, then we can move forward knowing we've made the right decision. But if we're told safe and effective, when it comes to the jab versus abortion and chemical abortion, it's a whole different animal. See, then you don't have the right information. You're making a bad decision based on information that was given to you that wasn't true. So this is something that, you know, we all have to use, not only our political propaganda deciphering mechanism, but we also have to use our conscience and tune into the Almighty to get the truth. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, don't do it until you are. And now we have a San Francisco conservative. At least that's what the folks out there would like you to think. A classical liberal, a classical conservative, according to David Parker, who lives in San Francisco, I guess abides by the ancient wisdom of Euclid, Plato, Aristotle, which he says still applies today. He's an entrepreneur, an investor, lifelong educator. DavidParkerEssays.com. Welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks for asking. So the San Francisco conservative in this day and age would seem to be almost like an endangered species in the animal kingdom, given everything we know about California these days. How have you managed to spend a long lifetime, including a 40-year career in the Bay Area's public school system, resisting becoming a San Francisco liberal?
Wasn't that hard. Every day my opinions are reinforced. the public schools, you know, are nationwide are, partially with the teachers' union, are a liberal bastion. I just have to hold my breath and do my job. I'm a San Francisco conservative, so there's some play in that expression. I'm not socially terribly conservative, and politically I'm very liberal. No one should be denied the vote, but progressives are advocating spending money for everything, and I'm really against that. They're destroying the country, in my opinion.
Okay, well, that opened a door. Because, see, here's the thing. Your conservative thought is telling you what's right. The liberal thought is saying, look, we have the right to be free and do what we want and coexist peacefully. But we're in an area right now that, we're thrown into this pool of divisiveness. And a lot of it has to do with what's coming out of Washington. I mean, people are looking to leadership by example. We're not seeing it.
That's correct. I would say that the Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, was an example of leadership. That was the correct decision. There's no one has a constitutional right to something like abortion or a constitutional right to gay marriage. But Clarence Thomas, the most conservative, says that's to be decided by the states. We are United States of America. We're a federal. We became that way because of federalism, where every state retains all the liberties except for the few that are listed, enumerated in the Constitution. That's the success of our nation. If you're a Mormon, you move to Utah, and no one tells you what to say or think. It's your own business. And so the Supreme Court says, same with abortion. It's your own business. If your church doesn't like it, or your state, or your community, and you can't live there, then move. Vote with your feet. It's no one's business to tell anybody else what to do. In that sense, I'm not sure that's, I guess that's true liberal in a classical liberal, which is perhaps conservative. Classical conservative.
Yeah. See, when you play, and these are terms that I like to play with, David. I really do. I don't, when you say Democrat and Republican, there's so many different genres of each. I like the way that you actually break it up, conservative, liberal, because liberal we think of as a left-leaning, conservative we think as a right-leaning, liberal we think as somebody that likes to really venture out in a free spirit kind of thing. Conservative is the kind that kind of like puts the brakes on things and tries to live in a world of reason. And I guess that's part of the Apollo, right?
Exactly. My friends and my family, I'm from San Francisco, are progressive liberals. I call them romantic liberals. I'm a classical liberal. They're Dionysus. Let's get drunk. I'm Apollo. Let's use some reason.
And that, yeah, don't get behind the wheel of your Porsche and smash it up, especially if you live in Napa.
Right.
I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. You were talking leadership by example, and you're talking about divisiveness, and you're talking about scandal. I mean, literally, what was Pauly P doing behind the wheel of that Porsche after having several drinks at a party? You know, when there's Uber out there, you know, it makes you wonder about stuff like that. But this is the thing. You get both ends of the political spectrum and everything in between. And this new book you have out, A San Francisco Conservative, David Parker Essays, Volume 2. You open this with three lines written by the poet T.S. Eliot in the 1930s. You reach way back in history, and those three lines, why they reflect the message of your new book.
They are the most perfect statement of conservatism. Time past, time present, time future, it's the same. I like to say we're an animal. There's no species in nature where others or some or a group tell others what to do. I'm saying that's a very good model for human beings. Why are any human beings telling anybody else what to do? There's no other animal that does that. Also, if you look at Aristotle, it blows you away. If you didn't know it was Aristotle, you would not know when it was written. He talks and sounds like we do today. This Western civilization, all of 5th century Rome and 5th century Athens and 1st century Rome, read those guys, Cicero, they sound like us. You would not know it was not written today. It's really reassuring, except their thoughts and explanations are so much better than ours. Ours are geared for, you know, a third grade education. There is geared on a very high level. It's so satisfying to read those guys talk about the same things we're talking about. I'm just absolutely convinced 300 years from now, we'll be having the same conversation.
Yeah, provided you're around. But anyway, I mean, the book will be, hopefully, if they don't burn it, you know, at another Fahrenheit 451. I'm just kind of like looking at at what you just said, and looking into the fact that they teach a lot of this stuff in law school. How much of this stuff, and this is, you know, I'm getting off track here because you opened a door, and you, when you do, then I start thinking, and it's like, okay, you know, if this is the way it is, you say it's thought-provoking in this new book. Well, the whole idea is, if you're a teacher and an educator and you're teaching in a school system, I got to ask the question, are you sharing this stuff with your students and getting them to do the same thing we're doing right now?
I have a strong belief on that because I watch teachers telling students or almost trying to indoctrinate students, you should be politically active. You don't need to learn civics. Just go out there and do it in the street. And it's so left and so, and says teachers should not be influencing students. They should be not giving their personal opinion about things. So I hesitate to. I'm teaching younger kids. I'm not drilling them with my political beliefs. That's not my job. My job is to teach them what the subject is. And if you talk about politics, you should talk about both sides and let students make their own decision. And people do think for themselves, which is a very Jeffersonian notion, that people can and do think for themselves. And that's why democracy is possible. And as a school teacher, I'll tell you, after 40 years, if someone asks you, what do you take away from 40 years of teaching? I take away the notion, don't underestimate people. they may be mixed up at any moment in their life. Just tell them what you think is correct, and they may change. And they, years from later, they won't be the same person. Don't underestimate people. It's the strength of our country, frankly.
Well, it is. It has been, and it will be, just like T.S. Eliot. I mean, we're talking about past, present, and future. The thing is, you mentioned that these timeless principles of economics, for example, are essential to the preservation of American democracy. And to me, I don't put my hand on my heart and say, and to the democracy for which it stands, I have a real hard time with democracy because democratic states since Greece have failed. And this is one of the reasons why our founding fathers created what Ben Franklin termed a republic. And so, you know, how do you discern and educate people on the difference between one and the other?
One reason I'm writing is that as a person who's been very successful in business, which is brings a lot of depth to my books, I give examples from business as opposed to examples from academia, is that people who are successful are not really paying taxes. Jeff Bezos doesn't pay taxes, hasn't paid in 20 years. Most, their accountants set it up. You have income producing assets that you write off, depreciation and interest. And if you have too much income, you borrow against it. So you show no income. The rich are really not paying taxes. And that is amoral stance began to bother me as immoral. So I wanted to tell progressives, you're paying for everything. Everything. Middle class, somebody's working really hard and honestly, working overtime, is paying for every social program. You can't tax the rich. So that was the motivation for my writing. I forget, what was your question again exactly?
No, I was just trying to find out, you know, your ability to discern the differences between a democracy and a republic. Because, again, I don't pledge allegiance to a democracy. I pledge allegiance to a republic. And I also pledge allegiance to the Republic of Texas, of which I'm a member. So the thing I'm looking at, you're in California, you're in San Francisco, and you have a book basically that explains why you're incensed about America's progressive movement. This seems to be what's driving the insanity. I mean, is that a fair statement?
What you're pledging allegiance to is a constitutional democracy. That means you can't just vote for whatever you want. We have a few laws, and the Constitution is only one page. One page. You can go to Washington, D.C. and look at it. In Europe, they have the Maastricht Agreement, their Constitution, 254 pages, like our tax code, expanding. You can't run a country that way, but we can. Greece, Athens failed because it was a direct democracy and got too big, and republic was the way to go. And we solved that problem by being a republic. You're correct. But Athens at its 5th century and Rome in its 1st century were very successful. Their economies were free. And the success of this nation has been we were a free economy. But the rich are not complaining. And the timeless laws of money, business, and economics really are timeless. So no matter what progressives or liberals do, the rich don't care because those timeless laws are still there. And so that's why you don't get a lot of objection from conservatives. And all the press is coming from the left because they're upset. They're anxious. And the right are not anxious. They're just the silent majority, just sitting there. Say whatever you want. It's not going to, you can't do what you want. You can't tax and you can't spend to solve social problems. Money doesn't solve problems. Problems are personal. So, I'm not sure I answered your question yet, but all that's part of my reasoning.
No, I get it. And the thing is that when you're dealing with a book that basically is talking about progressives and the way they behave, what is your response to them who say that if we don't mandate policies that provide support to individuals in our society, because you just alluded to that in your last statement, although we need food, we need shelter, we need medical care, we need abortions, we need all this, and, you know, the government should just give it to us. Otherwise, we'll fall between the cracks. I mean, You know, yeah. Are we kind of going against the principles our country was founded on?
Yes. And I give a very good example. In 1964, Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson, says we're going to have a war on poverty. We're fighting in Vietnam with a huge budget deficit. He says, I don't care. Poverty, it's so unconscionable that a rich nation have 15% poverty. We're going to do what we can, and we're going to wipe it out once and for all. You can go to any search engine and go U.S. Census Bureau, and it will show you the level of poverty from 1958 up to the present. The needle didn't move. It's 15% poverty today. It's been 15% since the war on poverty started. You can't solve personal problems with money. But we're now approximately $23 trillion in debt just for the war on poverty. Three times what we spent in all wars that America ever fought, including World War II, with nothing to show for it. Poverty and education rates are as low as they've ever been. They're probably the lowest in the world. All because we're spending money to try to solve problems. Progressives are completely wrong about everything they believe.
Yeah, that is amazing, too, because, I mean, now we have this free exchange of ideas, which is permitted or encouraged on college campuses where they're getting a liberal education, and they come out, and this expression, woke, now, you know, is basically applied to anybody that has attended these things because of the way they behave after they get out. I mean, right now, I just found out that one of the most conservative grocery store chains in Texas, HEB, is allowing family-friendly drag shows in their parking lot. I mean, you see this. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that you used to think you could only find in adult houses, you know, of ill repute or in places like strip clubs. And yeah, thank you. I was waiting for you to say that. You know, but this is a thing. You know, why are we being subjected to this and then made to understand or told, hey, you have to allow us to do this because this is America? I mean, I just find it a little disquieting. What's your thought on that?
Well, that's the social side. I'm not, I guess I am from San Francisco. It doesn't bother me as much as it seemed to bother you. You don't have to look at it. If somebody's putting something in your face, maybe there can be some laws that say you can't force someone to see something they don't want to see. But that's like free speech.
Sure.
The woke are against free speech. They don't mind free action. You can behave lewd in public, but don't say anything that's offensive to me, or I'll squash you. That's real hypocritical on the woke. David Brooks, columnist, New York Times, and on PBS NewsHour, said that 1.5% of university professors are conservative. And they're, maybe if there's more, they're keeping quiet about it. They're self-censoring. That's how powerful the woke movement is. It's becoming a nation of babies.
Well, that's an interesting perspective that you would put it like that, David, because, you know, given the actions of the political leaders in recent years, aren't you concerned a little bit that we might have lost sight of placing the Constitution in a fundamental central role when enacting legislation that gives these people an excuse to go out and behave the way they're behaving?
The Constitution is a great pinnacle document. It's only one page. It says you can do what you want, but you can't go against anything that's in the Constitution. And you can't go against fundamental laws. You can't murder. You can't coerce someone to do something against their will. You can't enslave someone. But there's only a few laws like that nobody's arguing about that. Otherwise, you're free. But your community can say, this is unacceptable and you cannot do it. That's what's called states' rights. And I believe that. And if you want to, that offends you, you move to a community where you're comfortable. But don't force your opinions on you can have laws on a local level, but the nation should not have laws as talk about even pornography. It's not for the nation to make laws on, not for the Supreme Court, a bunch of lawyers to make laws for the nation.
I guess what a lot of people are thinking here, David, is when you, and I'm not trying to beat up on drag shows, don't get me wrong. I know people that make good money doing it. I know a lot of these people who claim that they're just actors have died of HIV and other diseases because of their acquaintance with that kind of community. I mean, this is a thing. Nobody told them that they had to go do that. That was a choice that they took upon themselves as part of free market. You have the opportunity to do what you want. You can go where you want. You can do everything, but you pay the price for whatever consequence you went down that path. You know, you didn't take the path like Robert Frost wrote about. I took the path less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. They are responsible, and we the people are responsible for whatever path we choose. And if we go down the wrong path and we die as a result of going down the wrong path, that's on us. That's not on the government.
Right. Well, to be fair, you know, if you're a person who's homosexual, he didn't, my opinion, they didn't choose to be that way. No one chooses it. It's not so comfortable a lifestyle. You can't help it. It's who you are. That side of me is San Francisco. It says it's nobody's business. And then nobody knew when HIV came out that it was coming from bathhouses. It was coming from unsafe sex. So it's not quite a choice. They didn't choose to have unsafe sex and didn't care about AIDS. They didn't know about it. To be honest, I think you don't have to be too tough on gays in that regard.
I get that. But the thing is, you know, what about the things they don't know, like the possibility that this virus they got came out of Fort Detrick, Maryland? How do we know that that didn't kill them? See, those are the things we question, yeah. David. We're at the break. DavidParkerEssays.com is the website if you want more information. We thank you so much for being on the show. Time flies when you get in a good conversation, doesn't it? We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Thirty-two minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, and it's Thursday, July 28, 2022. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks for joining us in this segment. All sorts of things happening in the world of economics. Did you know the value of bitcoins and NFTs may have fallen over the past year, but a different approach to cryptocurrency is growing in popularity around the world while showcasing a totally different face of blockchain? You see, we've always thought that the CBDCs, this is a central bank digital currency, but everybody's got to have an acronym. And for those of you shrugging your shoulders, I have an acronym for that, IDK. I don't know. And the thing is about blockchain, we have warned you that blockchain, once they got into this, that it was going to be the way they were going to use to control every transaction you made involving even a social credit score. And they're going to aim to do this by trying to do away with the dollar and go to these central bank digital currencies, which they control. This is a problem, you know, because everybody thought bitcoins were non-traceable and decentralized. And come to find out, the SEC, the FBI, and all these other federal agencies seem to have a pulse on all of this. And it's like you might be able to put your money in and hide your money there, which a lot of people basically were doing when they first started this scheme, what they called it, government called it that. Government's famous for demonizing anybody that's trying to shelter their wealth. And, of course, they prosecute when they find out you've been sheltering your wealth and you haven't been paying your fair share of taxes. Now you're evading taxes, so now you're going to jail. They always sentence you to 3 years and a day, right? Unless it's real serious. But, yeah, we know how they behave. And it's all selective prosecution. The Chinese digital yuan pilot made headlines in April 2019, but the project hasn't moved on since. Like Nigeria, China has a solid digital and mobile payment infrastructure. You see, this is why they have the social credit scores. And so the CBDC, when you have this central bank digital currency going out, central banks could call for a whole new global network of currencies to stop any kind of stagflationary crisis from ever happening again. And see, we can just control every little thing and control every little person out there, except for those people involved in barter, the black market, and commodities. And there you have the answer to this entire solution of how to beat the social credit system, barter and the shadow economy. Amazing that such a thing exists. It's existed ever since time began, and it's existed when this country began. In fact, wasn't John Hancock a smuggler? I mean, seriously, a lot of these guys, they had, you know, skeletons in their closet, yet they founded a system built on the belief in God, and we're living in it right now. We're living proof of it. And this is the one thing Bruce Bartlett and other economists during the Reagan administration were always trying to find out. How do we get into the barter market and the black market, the shadow economy? How do we get into that, and how do we tax it? And they did all these studies over years and years and years. And you know what they found out? They can't. There is no way. And as a matter of fact, the one thing they figured out, and you can argue with me if you like to. The phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. You can argue with me on this if you want to. But every time that there is an increase in taxes, there is a direct correlation with people going to the underground economy, involving themselves in barter networks that are off book, black markets where they're trading food for service, service for food, black market, anything black market, and all the commodities that we need to survive. Flea markets go crazy with this stuff. And you see, the more people understand about community flea markets, and I'm not just talking about farmers markets, those are great to go into, but see, farmers markets, a lot of them, they work for cash. They want to sell because the standard of value and the store of value right now to them is in the dollar. If you walked up to them and said right now, you know, look, I've got a half a dozen rabbits I just slaughtered that I've got on ice here, and I want to trade them for a half a dozen of those veggies you've got on the table, what do you think that guy's going to say? Well, if he's not in the market for rabbit, then I guess you've struck out. You got to go to somebody who is. This is one of the reasons why, if the community is going to participate in the shadow economy, you have to have some sort of a centralized network. Now, we've had the argument on the show before about centralized currencies. I know when Ellen Brown was on here, a lot of you got a little flustered because it's like the community has to come up with its own currency. Really? I don't know about that. I don't know that that's going to work. I don't think that. I think people wouldn't like that kind of a system because it's not, you know, what they're used to. See, the thing is I have studied barter infinitesimally. I've studied these systems. I've got a whole shelf of books dedicated to nothing but barter, the shadow economy, underground commodity trading. It is amazing the stuff you learn besides cashing weapons. The thing is, when you are involved in a barter network, it's whatever the people are willing to trade in like value based on what is valuable to them. So this is why social networks like Nextdoor are very important. Facebook is only important to a certain extent because the government monitors all of this stuff. So you have to set up local social media where people in your community are allowed to exchange free thoughts and ideas, not so much currency, but if they've got something like, hey, I've got some panel fence right now I got to get rid of, and I'm willing to take the following in trade, and they put it there for people to see, and the guy says, hey, as a matter of fact, I've got this much in tomatoes, this much in cucumbers, this much in lettuce. I have a greenhouse system. You're looking for a rosemary plant. I can give you all the stuff in exchange for that panel fence. And I really don't need the panel fence, but I'm talking to my neighbor over here, and he needs a panel fence, and he's going to trade me for something else that I need. So I will trade you what I've got to trade with him with what he's got. And that's how the shadow economy works. And if you don't agree with that, please call and tell me what other alternative you might have in mind. 844-769-2944 is the number to call. And you see, what's really scary about the way that science is meddling with our lifestyle right now, you've heard of DARPA? Well, they've got some irresponsible use of new and very advanced technologies by the military, which most of us would consider life-threatening. Not only are we engineering viruses that can be used to edit genes and target a species in a hereditable manner, we now have insect allies. That is a DARPA program designed to genetically modify mature plants in a live environment by releasing insects infected with genetically modified viruses. Are you following where I'm going with this? Now, see, this is one of the reasons why, if you have a greenhouse and you are doing the right thing as far as raising the greenhouse. I can't do raised bed gardening anymore, knowing we've got these genetically modified insects. I mean, they just released all these GMO mosquitoes into Florida. What do you think that's all about? And everybody just says, oh, well, maybe, you know, they're going to kill off the mosquitoes that are carrying all the bad viruses. Really, you think? And then these are the same people that go, chemtrails? What are those? You know, you got to wonder about DARPA's motives and concerns here, right? A lot of scientists are on board with genetic modification in principle. But when you start using this to threaten American lives, and researchers in Singapore as well as DARPA in the U.S. have developed remote-controlled insects, believe it or not. Sorry, but I think they're flying around just a little too fast to shoot them out of the air. So if they're remote-controlled insects, they got to have some means of how they're controlled. And the next question I would have to ask you, that you should ask yourself, is it 5G? Is it 6G? What's going to control these insects? Got to ask yourself that question. If you live in an area that doesn't have 5G, consider yourself lucky. And I know a lot of you doomsayers out there saying, oh, don't worry, Dave. They'll be in your neighborhood some point in time in the future. Don't worry about it. See, but if you're all set up and you're in a system whereby you don't have to worry about social credit scores and all that other happy stuff, and you're part of a network that is into barter, then you don't really have too much to worry about. If we are all of a sudden put in the dark ages by EMP, and I'm going to get to this in just a second because I got an EMP story for you. If all of a sudden we're in the dark ages and you already have a barter economy set up, you already know these people and where they're at. If you have a way to get there because your car was protected by EMP shield, then you're going to be able to exist. Otherwise, you're going to have a bike and or a motorcycle that burns less gas with a basket on the back. And you're going to have to do your trading that way. Or you're going to have to get a bicycle with baskets on it. You're going to have to bike miles. So you want to deal with people in close proximity to you. We're only biking on a regular bicycle, 3 miles maybe. You get your exercise, but you also get fed. Under the health category, what does the best evidence say about antidepressants? 22.4%. That's over a fifth of American adults reported symptoms of depression in June of 2022, compared to 7.1% in 2017. Half of young adults ages 18 to 24 reported feeling depressed. 22% ages 45 to 64 had depression symptoms. 9% of people age 65 and over reported feeling depressed. Why such low numbers for 9% for people of age over 65? Why would that be? Perhaps they are in a position, like me and everybody else, that thinks, you know what? I don't give a crap about what's going on out here. I'm not going to be depressed. I got my life. I prepared. I'm set up. I got nothing to worry about. Why be depressed? I got things I can do to keep myself occupied so I'm not feeling depressed. You see, we've learned to overcome this. Whereas all these young adults, 18 to 24, especially those with liberal educations, have come out of college and every place else thinking the entitlement game. Remember that? Oh, the world owes me a living. Remember that one? Yeah. No, I'm dating myself again. And so seriously, what are they doing? The medical community has the answer for all. It's called antidepressant drugs. Oh, my. I just got a... Let me scroll down my text here. I just got a text from Judy Mikovits, Dr. Judy Mikovits. We've been communicating on text, and I asked her about, you know, the use of antidepressants and stuff, and there's this stuff called Sermin as an alternative to taking prescription antidepressants. And she wrote back, and, you know, we talked about Sermin, and, you know, she's going to check and see what she can do for synergies of pathways. And I said, we've been getting some commentary in the medical community about these physicians constantly prescribing antidepressants instead of looking at alternative therapies. And we're also, we were talking about autism as well, a natural alternative. And there is a website called autismone.org. And the Autism One meeting is going to be in Mesa, Arizona, August 19 through 23. Mini Neuroimmune Supportive Care is going to be there. And Judy Mikovits is going to be there presenting an endocannabinoid modulator. And all that are looking for, including Suramin, Ivermectin, Pure Energic modulators, all going to be there. That's Mesa, Arizona, August 19th through the 23rd. Autism One meeting, for those of you with kids affected by that, or those of you feeling, I mean, she brought up the idea of endocannabinoid modulators. Now, the word cannabinoid, what does that tell you? Hey, man, is that pot, man? Hey, Tommy Chong, you're here. Hey, that cannabinoid, man, that sounds like pot to me, man. Oh, man, did you really? Hey, you wanna smoke a fatty, man? Oh, far out, man. Is that what you're talking about, man? Hey, man, you know, like if we smoke pot, man, we're not going to be depressed. You know, we're just going to get a case of the munchies. Oh, far out, man. You see, that's the stuff. I mean, you got to know, if you don't want to take antidepressant drugs, what is society doing for alternative therapies? Well, they're taking CBD. I mean, you know, we have to have a little fun with this, folks. I don't want to sit there and not have fun with this sort of thing because then I'd get depressed. We certainly can't have that now, can we? You know, and the side effects with depression, I mean, we're talking violence, self-harm, cutting, suicide, heart disease, heart attack, stroke, dementia, depletion of various nutrients, depending on the kind of drug that they prescribe you. Yet who is inundating our media with all of these commercials? Big Pharma. Yeah, see, that's why we have the Power Mall. That's why we have all those self-help alternatives that you can go shop on. That's why we have all our guests on. So you can shop at the Power Mall and support the ideas that we are sharing here on the Power Hour. I know that may seem kind of crazy. Now I'm going to get back to this EMP story while we still have time left in our show today. Electromagnetic pulse. We have talked about it on the show before, and the fact that all they have to do is launch one of these hypersonic missiles. See, we're talking again about not being blown up by a nuke, but we're talking about shutting down all of our electric grids by simply setting off one nuke over Kansas, 275 miles up in the atmosphere, and it creates E1, E2, and E3, which basically blows out your computers and anything not protected, anything connected to an antenna. It blows out everything that has computer chips. It blows out all the transformers when E2 hits. And then it blows out all the transmission lines when E3 hits. Fries them, all right? And it all happens in a matter of a split second. So once EMP is launched, we're in the dark ages. All the power goes out. Nobody's got any electric. They're all sitting there in the dark. And they're going, what happened? I think we blew a breaker. No. Well, my radio station in Florida that I do, I'm on kdwradio.com. We have a radio station down there. It's a community radio station. It's a nonprofit FM station that I am on the board of directors of. And that is my community outreach. That's my give back. I still have a business in Florida. And so, you know, I'm a member of the Northport Chamber. And I still do a lot of things in Florida. I am building houses in Florida out of steel zip because they're Category 5 hurricane resistant. So, and it's like living in a walk-in cooler for those of you in hotter climates that want an alternative. ShopAffordableHomes.com. But the thing is all of my homes are equipped with an EMP shield. That's the one thing the radio station that I am on the board of directors of did not have. It did not have EMP shields in the three electric panels. And so when the lightning strike last Saturday night hit the tower, it fried the distribution panel at the base of the tower and the stuff that was on the tower, which included some leased antenna up there when it struck. It fried it. So now they got to get new antenna. The tower's okay, but, you know, it's a little fried, but they got the cable and everything else fried. However, I donated an antenna EMP shield to the radio station, and their electrician wired it up. And guess what did not burn up? What the tower was connected to. The transmitter. It's still functional. Because there was an EMP shield that basically shunted all of that overvoltage by lightning to ground. And here's the other thing that they do explain on the EMPshield.com website. If you have one of these EMP shields for the antenna on your radio or tower, ham operator, whatever the case may be, and the EMP shield fails to work, the EMP shield people have an insurance policy that covers up to $25,000 in damages. But in this case, the only thing that fried was everything prior to the EMP shield connected to the antenna. So that means everything after the contact with the EMP shield was protected. So those of you doubting Thomas's out there, I just gave you a story. Especially if you're a ham operator, you need to get one of these antennas. You know, I mean, the next best thing would be, you know, you need to put an EMP shield on your electric panel like I have on mine. I've got one on my power pole and I got one in the house. I've got them in my cars. I'm sitting here looking at the antenna version of this because I may decide to go into ham radio so I can communicate with Todd in the event we have an EMP problem and we manage to turn up and, you know, be able to communicate. You see, you need ways of communicating. So here's the thing. Once you have the ability to communicate, see, then you're not alone. And you can share news and information. This is how you overcome the situations that we might be facing, which is why I had to talk about this. Given the energy and environment, as long as we're talking about energy, a foreign company with a troubled past has bought into a massive Midwest carbon capture project. See, now that we have all this climate change garbage coming at us, Midwest landowners fighting the construction of a 2,000-mile web of carbon capture pipelines are upset to learn the company seeking easements on their land is funded by foreign investors, including at least one with a troubling past. Summit Carbon Solutions aims to build a pipeline through hundreds of farms and other private properties in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota. The pipelines are going to take carbon dioxide produced by more than 30 ethanol plants, liquefy it, and send it to North Dakota to be buried in rock about a mile underground. Wow. Carbon capture, huh? News you can read about by getting our email blast. If you don't have it, you should. You know how to get it by going to thepowerhour.com and clicking on the link. And did you know? The U.S. has sold nearly 6 million barrels of oil from our strategic reserves to China, according to records. Sinopec. Yep, Epic Times found that out. This is a Chinese firm with ties to Hunter Biden. Yep. What does that tell you about who owns who here? We've got some, you know, Biden is not registered as a foreign agent. Hunter, I'm talking about. And Daddy Joe, you know, the big guy. That's a problem. And they're not prosecuting the Bidens. Now we have to wait till November. This is one of the reasons why I tell everybody, please get involved in your local elections. Stop this, what we anticipate might happen again. What happened in 2020? You cannot let this happen again. The elections have to be fair. The integrity, if there is any lack thereof, needs to be challenged. Right there on the spot. Not after they start counting all the mail-in ballots and all this other garbage. Well, yeah, you know, well, we changed the rules. No, you didn't. You call 911, you get the sheriff out there, and you press charges. That's how it works. Don't let them put you in stupid mode. Be alert. What this country needs is more alerts. In our gardening, farming, and homesteading category, we've got another little thing. I'd never want to ever be without information as far as solution goes. I'm providing you with a list of 39 items that you can compost. My compost box is complete. I'm just getting ready to put a lid on it now. My chicken coop is almost done. I'm just putting the You know, the chicken wire, the poultry wire, poultry netting. I'm putting that over the top of the existing wiring and wiring it down onto so that nothing can get through it, the critters. And then I'm going to start putting base around it, get ready to pour concrete around the base of the thing so that critters can't tunnel underneath it. Then it'll be good to go. Then with the rabbitry is going to go up simultaneous to the chicken coop. And then we start on the greenhouse next week. So that's how fast we're moving. But you need to know about the 39 items you can compost. Instead of just throwing away your rubbish, finding space for landfills is becoming a worldwide challenge. And throwing away rubbish that could become compost is like throwing away money. Because remember what we told you about fertilizer. And see, the thing is you may not want to eat rabbit. But you know rabbit pellets, rosemary, Marjorie Wildcrap? She has told you already that rabbit poop, I know it's not a poop joke, right? This isn't Gutfeld. The thing is that rabbit poop can go immediately into your garden. You can put it in your compost pile with your chicken poop because that's got to go in there and stay in there a while because chicken poop has to break down a little bit because it produces too much ammonia. All of these things we give to you because we're all about solutions here in the Power Hour. We're out of time for today, but we will be back tomorrow. And you can catch me on Bradley Dean's show, by the way, from 2 to 3 on GCN Live, Sons of Liberty Radio. I'll be there entertaining his group. Dave Krieger with you in the meantime. Remember this, God loves you. With that, God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.